And welcome to Authors Matters by ALCS, the podcast from the Authors Licensing and Collecting Society. I'm Caroline Sanderson, and I'm an author, editor, and books journalist. And yes, a member of ALCS too. ALCS is a membership organisation that collects and pays out money to writers for secondary uses of their works. It has over 100,000 members in the UK and worldwide, and has paid out over £500 million to writers since it was established in 1977. ALCS represents all types of writers: journalists, academics, radio drama writers, novelists, poets, and more. If you're not already a member and want to find out more, visit the ALCS website at www.alcs.co.uk. In this episode of Authors Matters, we talk to hip-hop artist, writer and poet Carl Nova, the 2020 winner of the ALCS-sponsored Ruth Rendell Award for his outstanding contribution to raising literacy levels in the UK over the past year. He tells us why he's passionate about inspiring young readers and writers. With many writers still facing financial hardship due to the COVID-19 pandemic, we chat to Sarah Baxter of the Society of Authors about the contingency grants it can make available to those struggling to make ends meet at this time. And finally, there's some welcome good news for writers as we talk to ALCS Chief Executive Owen Atkinson about the recent record payout to members in the March 2021 distribution. Last December, poet and hip-hop artist Carl Nova was announced as the inspiring winner of the 2020 Ruth Rendell Award. Founded in 2016 by ALCS and the National Literacy Trust in memory of the crime novelist and peer, who was herself a great champion of literacy, it is awarded each year to an author who's done outstanding work in this cause. In announcing Carl as the winner, Jonathan Douglas, CEO of the National Literacy Trust, said, "Carl is a fantastic ambassador for poetry and literacy. He has such a warm and infectious energy, and he has inspired and continues to inspire so many children and young people through his writing, his workshops, his advocacy for equality, and especially powerful and positive voice in 2020. So it's a joy to welcome Carl to Authors Matters. Hello, Carl.
Hello. Thank you for having me on at this very interesting time.
Well, we might talk a little bit about that later. So how much of a surprise was it to win the Ruth Rendell Award, and what does it mean to you to be recognised in this way?
So first of all, my publisher calls me up to say, okay, something good is on the horizon for you, but we are not allowed to tell you. So I was like, what is going on? I don't know what's happening, because I'm just in the middle of plugging along and just doing these sessions online. But when I found out the next day what it was, I was shocked, because I didn't even know about this. And then when I went to do my homework, I was like, wow, I'm like the third or fourth person to win this. And I was like, wow. I think it was just shock and happiness. And then when I started really thinking about what it means, I felt, you know, it's one of those things where you get a pat on the back kind of thing, because I'm kind of still new to the literary world. I don't really know about all these things. My book only came out in, 2017? And then I won this thing called the Clipper Poetry Prize in 2018. And that was my first introduction to the wider world, the literary world. So, I mean, I'm very thankful. It's great. It feels good. It feels like I'm doing a good job. I'm honored. You know what I mean? I am all for literacy. I've been doing this since 2009, and nobody knew me at first for a long time. So it's like, I feel like it's a new birth. I'm a new author now. My new book is coming. Watch out, guys. I'm coming.
Well, you've really made your mark. you know, even before this award, but it's such a great accolade for what you've been doing. So you've written about and said that your route into poetry was through hip hop and slam poetry. Can you tell us a bit more about how and when this happened? I mean, your book is called Rhythm and Poetry, which of course is what rap is an acronym for, isn't it?
Yeah. So for me, back in school, unfortunately, I never did poetry in school. The closest I got to poetry was nursery rhymes. Apart from that, I never read a poetry book, never got read poetry to me. I had nothing. And then when I made the change from living in the UK to living in Nigeria, because that was a sudden change that happened to me, my mother took me to live with my father in Lagos, Nigeria, when I was about 7 and a half. And in the educational system there, there was nothing about poetry there either. So the change happened when I was about 9, 10, when my older cousin played me the first hip hop music I ever heard in my life. And he didn't just play it. He sat down and explained to me what this is. This is hip hop. This is where it comes from. This artist does this. And my cousin is like an intellectual academic himself. So it just opened my mind to the idea that, wow, not only is this poetry, but I can do this. I have access to this. And then slam poetry was maybe a couple of years later when I watched a film called Slam by the great poet Saul Williams, who is a big time poet from America. And I saw the way he performed his poetry with such passion and such vocabulary. He was doing like gymnastics with his words. I was like this. I couldn't even breathe until I finished seeing him perform. And I was like, I must do this. I don't care. This is going to be my life. And I would write and write. And thankfully, I had my cousin's support who would write with me even from being a child. So I was taken by this. Now, my father wasn't too happy about my ambitions because he wanted me to be in politics. But here I am saying, I want to write. I want to be a poet. I want to be a rapper. I just want to create for a living. And the funny thing is, this is what my dad's original dream was. But he put that aside to follow his father's dream. And he expected me to do the same. But you see, we're in a whole new generation. I'm sticking to my guns. I just want to write and create. And that's what I'm doing. Funny thing is, he's back to writing books himself in his retirement. So it's uncanny that we're doing similar things at the same time at this time. But this is what is in my heart to do. I just love to write and create, and rap music and slam poetry ignited that in me. It's never died since then. Even more so now that I get to do this and spark it up in young people myself.
That's so interesting. I guess a lot of people would say that poetry can be really political in some ways. So I was wondering what the what would you say that the themes are that run through all your work?
Okay, so for me, because I come from the world of slam and hip hop, so it's most of the time it's about identity and finding out who you are and knowing what your worth is and finding out your voice and just trying to make sense of the world I'm in. And just believing in yourself, like a lot of self-belief and finding out, how do I find my self-belief? Where is my place in this world? So those themes come into my poetry a lot, I've found.
Well, my next question was about, you know, why you're so inspired and committed to working with young people. But I think you've kind of encapsulated it there, because of course, this as a young person is what you're trying to find out. You're trying to find out who you are, aren't you? And I mean, you know, I know that you quite often say to kids, you know, do you read poetry? And they say no.
Yeah.
And then you say, do you listen to rap music? Yes. And then you make the connection, which is a great way in for kids, isn't it?
I mean, I'm just trying to pass on to young people the love for writing and words that my cousin passed on to me. So when I'm going into schools to talk to young people, I'm like, you're already kind of in the vicinity of this stuff. I'm just here to help you put the links together in your mind. Because some of them are like, rap is like the here and Shakespeare is here. But no, there's a guy called Akala who has hip-hop Shakespeare. He uses hip-hop to teach Shakespeare plays. So we're not really that far away. We all use the same literary tools. Shakespeare uses a metaphor. We do, you know what I mean? He uses similes. We use it. Maybe it might be different theme, different styles, but we're all in the same world of worlds and literacy and literary tools. So it's like half of the work is done. Before I've even stepped into school, half of my work is done because they're listening to rap all day. Some of it might be not be the rap I would even want them to listen to, but I'm here with you to, we're going to critically break down what you're taking in. We're going to talk about writing. I'm going to show you how what you're learning in school is linked with this exciting thing you like and why you should actually pay more attention in class, because it helps you understand it better and helps you be a better writer and a better student and a better reader. You know what I mean? Because somebody said reading and writing are connected. Reading is breathing in, writing is breathing out. So I always tell them, if you're not breathing in, you're not going to be breathing out really well. So what are you reading? Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. We have great times and they produce amazing work. And there's so much more to young people than people give them credit for sometimes. You know, there's so much more to them. So it's fascinating to do this work.
It's just so great hearing you talk about the sort of demystifying aspect of it, because, of course, the work of the National Literacy Trust, which ALCS often supports through different initiatives. I mean, you know, there's a lot of kids who are on the margins, a lot of kids who really, really struggle with this stuff, aren't there? And so it's about ways in, as you were saying, like making the connections between, you know, this boring stuff that we have to do at school and I don't really get and doesn't engage me, and what you're doing with them. And it's very exciting, isn't it?
Yes, it's definitely exciting. And I do encounter, so when I go into schools, whether it's a primary school, secondary school, even college, universities, whatever, you get told, all right, this group might be not as able as the others. You know, they're in a lower tier of ability and things like that. What can you do? I mean, I've had people come to me and say, we don't know what to do with them. Help us. I'm like, listen, I'm a hip hop artist, not a magician, but I'm going to give it a go. And then I go in and work with these young people and actually find out they have so much inside of them to offer. I'm like, how did you miss it? But I guess sometimes it's finding the way in with them, or their style of learning, or really listening to them and then trying to meet them where they are. So I've seen this happen so much. And I'm talking about every kind of background. Doesn't matter whether it's an inner city school in London or somewhere in Plymouth or somewhere in the backwoods of East Sussex. I've been to some places to do this. It's the same thing. It's some people who are on the margins of traditional learning, and I've been to special needs schools as well, and it works there as well. I found an amazing poet in this school. He's with special needs school, they're outside mainstream education, but this guy has written a book of poetry of his own. I'm like, you're in, you're there, so keep going. And I gave him maybe some more tips and stuff, but I see this all over the country. That's why I love this work, you know, because it's like discovery all the time.
And one of the things that was mentioned when you were given the Ruth Rendell Award was how you've so brilliantly carried on this work during lockdown, because of course you've had to sort of pivot, as the word goes, to doing all this online, and which, you know, is kind of tougher, but it sounds like you've really got into a groove of doing that.
Listen, before lockdown I had done an online session before, maybe once, and it was with a school in Zambia. So think about it. Before Zoom was a thing, a year before or a year plus, I was talking to these people in Zambia. These were like teenagers as well. And we were talking and I was able to present, you know, a good hour of a session. So I had no idea that a year after, this was going to be the norm. So it was a good kind of preview, though, to see that it's possible. But when I now had to switch up and adapt, wow, it wasn't easy, because I'm a very animated guy. I need to be in the room with you. I need to feel the energy of the room. I need to see, be able to look you in the eye. but now all that is taken away from me. I'm looking at a screen, but somehow I've been able to make this work. It's not my ideal, but it's been good. I don't want it to be forever, but it's a nice tool to have as an extra. You know what I mean? It's a good thing to have.
Yeah, I don't think any of us want it to be forever. But I mean, because this is a podcast, we can't see what an animated guy you are. But
look at me, I'm talking with
we
my
can
hands.
Hear you. We can hear you. We can hear it. That's what I'm saying. We can hear it. So, Carl, it'd be fantastic if you'd do a poem for us. Would you do a poem for Authors Matters?
So,
thanks so much.
I've chosen to do poetry with a question mark. And this poem is probably very significant to me, because it talks about how I fell in love with poetry and the door that was my door in. So thank you so much for having me on this podcast. And I'm gonna just do this poem, moving my hands. It goes like this. When I was a kid, poetry seemed boring. Complex words on a page that almost left me snoring. I felt no connection, the language seemed foreign. If it fought for my attention, it was pointless warring. I was introduced to texts held in high esteem. I did recognize the genius, but it meant nothing to me. But all that changed when I heard an MC speak a poetic language that really went deep. It's like I woke up from being fast asleep. Everything seemed to slow down. Oh, and I felt my soul leap. I was amazed how his words transformed him from being this skinny geek into someone enormous. He gained energy as he kept performing. Something was awakened in me so dormant. It deeply moved me to pick up a pen, to put down lines of my own, many gems I discovered hidden deep in my soul. I dug deeper, struck oil, and found gold. Now I'm sharing all these riches that I found, communicating feelings and thoughts through sound. Now that's poetry. I'm glad that I found the kind that speaks to me right here and right now. Poetry. Thank you.
It's been a real joy talking to you. Thank you so much, Carl.
Thank you.
Here at ALCS, throughout the pandemic, we've been aiming to support writers in need by alerting them to grants and other sources of financial help they may be eligible for. So I'm pleased now to introduce Sarah Baxter from the Society of Authors to tell us about some of the grants that the Society makes available. So welcome to Authors Matters, Sarah. So as I understand it, the Society makes grants available for, well, works in progress, but I think we probably what we want to focus on today is the grants that the Society makes for writers in financial difficulty.
Yeah, that's right. So the Society has a specific fund called the Authors Contingency Fund, along with a couple of smaller funds. And their aim is really to help authors, professional authors of all kinds, who find themselves in financial difficulty, temporary financial difficulty, for whatever reason. Those funds have been running for, in most cases, about 40 or 50 years, and generally would give out about £90,000 a year in total to probably about 100 writers. And in the last year, obviously owing to the coronavirus pandemic, we saw the need for those funds increase hugely. And last year we gave out just over 1.3 million to over 900 writers.
Gosh, so a huge increase then.
Yeah.
I suppose not surprising, but it just shows you, I mean, authors have always had times of difficulty, but So could you tell us a little bit about who's eligible? I mean, I'm a member of the Society of Authors, but people listening might not be.
Yeah, doesn't matter if you're a member of the Society of Authors or not. It's open to all professional writers for whom writing or writing-related income contributes a significant part of their annual earnings. So that could be, so we have fiction writers, non-fiction writers, journalists, script writers, playwrights, children's writers, educational authors, literary translators, really. If you are an author and you earn something of your annual income from writing, then you would be eligible. There is obviously a hardship element, so we would expect you to be able to demonstrate an element of need.
Okay. And so in that case, what sort of thing can the grants be used for? So obviously need could be a whole range of things.
Yeah, and it does, it really, really varies. Traditionally, I would say that, you know, before the last year, let's exclude the last year. Traditionally, we would see applications from authors who had perhaps fallen ill for a period of time and who had been unable to work, or people who perhaps didn't have that kind of contingency money to be able to pay for a domestic emergency like a new boiler or a broken down car or a replacement computer. It would even go so far as to pay for, you know, emergency dental treatment or something like that. It really has a very broad remit. But I would say sort of in the last year or so, obviously, it's been much more geared towards helping people who have been affected by the pandemic. And, you know, pretty much overnight last March, writers just saw, you know, huge swathes of writers just saw their income essentially vanish overnight. I would say the people who were particularly affected were, well, people like children's writers who would rely on school visits for their income, anyone who would rely on festival appearances or giving talks or creative writing workshops, journalists who's, you know, saw all freelance commissions kind of disappear, script writers and playwrights, you know, who were affected by the closure of theatres and, you know, television filming completely stopping for a period of time. Anyone who had to rely on travel to write, so travel writers particularly affected. So we know we saw a lot of applications, and we're still seeing a lot of applications from people whose, you know, substantial amount of their income was effectively wiped out in March last year, and really who haven't managed to get it back again. You know, school visits haven't started again, and, you know, festivals and readings and events aren't taking place. So it's
the more you think about it, the sort of more wide-ranging it is, really. So what's, just to get down to the bare details, what size of grants might an applicant typically receive?
So grants are available up to £2,000, but the average is about £1,100, I'd say, most sort of between £1,100 and £1,500. So okay. The minimum is £500.
Okay, and is there a window in which you need to apply, or are you open to applications?
Open to applications the whole time, and we've been very keen not to close the funds, you know, even though the demand is extremely high. So when you apply, you would need to complete a form which asks you for specific details about your income and your expenditure, and just to give the assessors an idea of your specific circumstances. And we are aiming to assess those applications and have the outcome by sort of two weeks from receipt of the application. So it's a very quick turnaround. You know, these are intended to be very sort of short, immediate, short-term grants to help through a period of a month or two. You know, in some cases obviously it helps through a much longer period, but they're just intended really to kind of plug the immediate shortfall.
That's really good to know. So anyone listening to this today could apply and potentially hear back within a fortnight, which is great news. I was really interested to see, because I was looking on the Society of Authors website, which is in fact where you need to go, societyofauthors.org, for more information. There were testimonials from people who've received your grants. And what's really striking is that actually, of course, you know, the kind of financial aspect of it is so important, but it also seems to provide a sort of mental boost as well for absolutely. A lot of recipients.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's an element of being seen, of being recognised as a writer, of being just giving that encouragement to continue as a writer when, you know, pretty the world is a pretty desperate, you know, the situation is pretty desperate, and it just gives them that validation almost to carry on.
It's really important.
It's
a very demoralizing time for a lot of writers, isn't it? And just to go back to that huge increase in demand that you've seen. So you were saying that the Society paid out more than £1 million last year in these hardship grants. So what's the situation in 2021 and where's this money coming from?
So we've had incredibly generous donations from organisations like ALCS and the Royal Literary Fund. We have some from Amazon. They have a charitable giving fund. We've had a lot of personal donations. We've had some donations from publishers, and we are fundraising through through our programme of events, on our online events, our SOA at Home Festival. The situation for 2021 is, you know, we have a certain amount of money at the moment to distribute. We think it's likely that on the, you know, based on the current rate of applications, that money is not going to last us past about May or June this year. So, we, you know, we are actively fundraising and, you know, very grateful for all of the support that we've had so far, but you know, it's clear that we are going to need more still.
Okay, so anyone listening, any organisation or individual who's in a position to help boost those funds, you'd be delighted to hear from
them. We would indeed, yeah.
Okay, and just to let everybody know again that if you are interested in applying for of these grants to the Society of Authors, best thing to do to go to the website societyofauthors.org.
Yeah, that's right. And if anybody's got any specific questions, they can contact us directly on grants@societyofauthors.org. But the form can be downloaded from the website, and if anybody has any access needs or requirements, they can telephone the office, and you know, we would help them through the applications process.
Thank you, Sarah. Thanks very much for joining us on Authors Matters. And
that's
very, very useful information. Thank you.
Thank you.
At the time of this recording, ALCS has just made a record-breaking March 2021 distribution to members. Here to tell us more is ALCS Chief Executive, Owen Atkinson. Owen, welcome back to Authors Matters. So a record-breaking March distribution. What an amazing feat, given this very difficult past year we've all been experiencing. What are the headline figures that we need to know?
Well, Caroline, it's been a record distribution, as you say. We've actually paid out over £26 million to 93,000 members. And actually, that means for the whole year, we will have paid out over £38 million. That's much more than we've ever done before. And considering the circumstances, I think the team have worked so hard at ALCS, knowing how authors have been suffering, and actually just really trying to get as much money out as possible to our members.
That's just really amazing, given that everyone's working remotely as well.
It's been much more difficult working remotely, but everyone has actually dug in, and you know, it's been business as normal, and it's fantastic at the end of such a difficult year to be able to say that, not just business as normal, but paying out more money than ever before. So, you know, a really great year for ALCS, and fantastic that we can pay out to our members so much money.
It was so gratifying, especially at this time when so many writers have been experiencing financial difficulty. I've seen lots of grateful tweets from members paying tribute to ALCS. That must help make all the hard work worthwhile.
Oh, you know, our members are wonderful, and they really do show their gratitude at this time. And also, you know, they spread the word. And so we've had lots and lots of writers actually applying to join over the course of the last few weeks. And I think we'll get between 600 to 800 new members as a result of actually all our members shouting about ALCS and telling them where to come to get their money.
That's really good. And it just shows, doesn't it, that ALCS members are the sort of best ambassadors, I think, because there they all are saying how grateful they are for their money.
Yeah, writers don't just write, but they can also shout about it as well. So yeah.
Yeah, and I think there's an element also to which it is about the money, obviously, because it's been such a difficult year for everybody. But also it's a kind of recognition, isn't it, that your work is being used as a writer and is useful, I guess.
And do you know something, Caroline? It's also, you know, this time we realise that actually our reach is getting greater. So this time round, we've paid out, I think for the first time, monies from Argentina. We've had monies in from Colombia. So we're just beginning to reach out much further. And it's not just income from the European Union. And I hope soon, actually, that we'll be able to expand even further, possibly into Asia. We just signed an accord with the Russian Collecting Society as well. So hopefully in the future, we may get a bit of money from Russia as well.
Excellent. It's so good to be able to talk to you with some welcome good news. Thanks very much, Owen.
Thanks, Caroline.
We aim to reflect the views of a wide variety of writers on our podcast, but their views are, of course, their own. We'd love to hear your feedback and suggestions. Do drop us a line at communications@alcs.co.uk. And please join us next time. Goodbye.